CRJ225, this is your week 6 podcast. Got a lot to cover this week because we're covering the property crimes. So, burglary, arson, theft, robbery, and receiving stolen goods specifically. Under Illinois law, burglary is at 720 ILCS 5/19(1), and it's defined as knowingly entering or remaining within a building, a trailer, a watercraft, an aircraft, or a motor vehicle, without the consent and the intent, without consent and with the intent to commit a felony or theft. Now, we always typically think of burglary as having something to do with theft, right? That somebody, broke into a property, obviously without the consent of the owner, and intended to commit theft. But the statute actually says, or a felony. Now, when someone enters the property without intent to commit a crime, the state might pursue a trespass charge instead of burglary. So somebody who breaks into a property and there's no indication that they intended to take anything, and there's no indication that they intended to commit a crime other than entering the property, it's trespass. To prove burglary, a state prosecutor must show that the defendant entered a property without permission or stayed on the premises after permission to enter the property had expired. Sometimes you'll see someone stays in a store and hides until the store closes and then proceeds to steal property. In addition, the prosecutor has to prove that the defendant entered the property knowingly with awareness and purpose and with the intent to commit a theft or felony. The types of property eligible for burglary include buildings, aircraft, boats, motor vehicles, and other things like that, where a person could enter and someone else could have property within. Criminal offenses related to burglary include possession of burglary tools, there's several objects that are considered to be tools of the burglary trade. If you're caught in possession of these tools, you could face a class 4 felony and up to 1 to 3 years in prison. Burglary tools are defined as any key, tool, instrument, device, explosive, suitable for use in breaking into a building, house, trailer, watercraft, aircraft, motor vehicle, railroad car, or any depository designed for safekeeping property or any part thereof with the intent to enter any such place and commit a felony or theft. Some defenses of burglary or to burglary: you have permission to be on the property, you have permission to enter the property. Now, that might not be to stay. So if you're in the bathroom at the mall and the mall closes while you're in the bathroom, and you come out and all the doors are locked, well, you didn't have permission to stay necessarily. It could have been an accident, but if you walk around and start taking stuff, you committed burglary. Lack of intent to commit a crime when you entered the property or after entering the property. So if you just come out of the bathroom, all the doors are locked and lights are off, you call and you say, "Hey, you locked me in," then you're good. And then entrapment by law enforcement. But entrapment at any time is improper. Arson's defined as the willful and malicious burning or charring of property, and there are many types of arson crimes, including setting fire to one's own property with fraudulent intent, like when someone burns down their property to collect insurance money. While the majority of arson crimes involve damages to buildings, arson can be committed by a person who sets fire to forest land or a boat. Arson typically is classified as a felony due to the potential to cause injuries or death, not only to people, innocent people, but then to first responders who come to have to help put that fire out.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Siri, she wants to talk. It is, in its most basic sense, you knowingly, by means of fire explosives, damage any real or personal property of somebody else without their consent, or your own property with the intent to defraud an insurer. It's investigated specifically by trained investigators locally. These people typically work in the fire department, and they use the most advanced chemical analysis to locate the point of origin of a fire. There, if depending on manpower and large departments like the city of Peoria, may have a police officer who has special training in arson investigations, but you typically are leaning on fire department personnel locally. It may take months or years to fully investigate a case before it's charged, because there's a lot of chemical analysis, a lot of expert analysis, lab analysis outside the typical type of lab. So it takes longer. You're relying on outside experts to help develop the evidence. Law enforcement's involved, and the investigators look to understand the motivation behind the crime of arson, and that's probably where the police department personnel are going to spend most of their time. Now, in Illinois, there's a dollar amount that has to exist before a charge of arson, and there are certain structures that don't have a minimum value because there are places like schools and churches. And then, as with anything, there's aggravating factors dependent on the circumstances. So if someone lights a building on fire and there's a person inside, it's aggravated. If a person was injured, that could be an innocent party or a first responder, police or firemen. If they're injured, it's aggravated. Let's switch over to theft. 720 ILCS 5/16(1) classifies theft as an offense directed against property. It's not against a person. Property is defined as anything of value. Now, property is often thought about as real estate, tangible possessions, or money. It also includes things such as a written document, labor, theft of labor. Somebody steals somebody's time. You do a job for somebody and they won't pay you. Or services. You can steal electricity. You can steal pets. I had a case one time where an individual, it was creepy. I mean, I didn't have the criminal case that came out of, but I had the property. And this guy tunneled from one house to his neighbor's house into the neighbor's basement, and which is creepy enough, and then ran electrical cords from the neighbor's house, basically sucking electricity from the neighbor's house to run his own house next door. And I'm serious as a heart attack, dug a tunnel. That's creepy. A person commits theft of property belonging to another when they knowingly obtain or exert unauthorized control over the property. They control the property of the other person by deception, by threat. They obtain control over stolen property, knowing it was stolen or if a reasonable person should have known it was stolen. And you know those circumstances, and you hear them all the time, and you may have been offered something that looked, smelled, was too good to be true. If it was too good to be true, it probably was stolen. Hey man, I got this 75-inch, you know, all the new stuff television. It's in this van. Meet me around the corner. $50. I just saw that they're locking up Ben and Jerry's ice cream in certain places. And then they're putting those security tags on it because people are going in and swiping it by the armloads from the store and then selling it for a buck on the street when it's $6 in the store. Come on. You know, right? That's what we're talking about. A reasonable person would know it was stolen. Or they obtain or exert control over property in the custody of an undercover law enforcement officer who explicitly represents the property is stolen. A person committing theft must have intent to permanently deprive the owner of the use and benefit of the property. They must knowingly use, conceal, or abandon the property in such a way to permanently deprive the owner of its use and benefit, or use, conceal, or abandon the property knowing that such use, concealment, or abandonment will probably permanently deprive the owner of the use or benefit. There's no minimum value on stolen property. So let's talk about robbery. Robbery is one. So robbery, burglary, people get those confused. It's like assault and battery. And you all know assault and battery very well by now and the differences. And it's a little bit the same in the sense that a lot of times people will call into dispatch and say, I've been robbed. When they've really been burgled. There's been a burglary. So let's break down robbery and you see why that's a major distinction. That's where hopefully the dispatcher gets some facts and then lets the police officer know, because just like battery is heightened from assault, robbery is a different crime than burglary, and you're probably coming lights and sirens. So remember what burglary is. Burglary is being in the property to commit a felony or to take something. But it's a crime against the property. To convict a person of robbery, prosecutors must show beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant took property, which can be anything but a motor vehicle because there's a separate offense for that, from another person, from a person, not a place, okay, by using force or threatening the use of imminent force. So by committing a battery or an assault from the person. Very different. Illinois robbery laws may escalate the charge if while committing the robbery, the defendant does any of these. They carry any type of weapon, firearm or other weapon. Discharge a firearm during the crime. Discharge a firearm within the proximity and it causes great bodily harm within the proximity. You don't have to aim it at somebody. They just discharge it and it causes bodily harm, permanent disability, permanent disfigurement, or death of another person. And robbery of a motor vehicle is a different charge. Now, some defenses: lack of intent, lack of knowledge, no bodily injury was caused, no force or threat was used, no property was taken, and sometimes intoxication. They didn't have the capacity, they didn't have the intent, right? But note that difference. Robbery is from a person. Burglary is from a place. When you get the call that a robbery has actually occurred, someone has used the threat of force or actual force, that's lights and sirens. That's immediate. That's go to protect somebody. If somebody comes home and their garage door is broken into and somebody stole their lawnmower, well, that's a bad thing. Lawnmowers are expensive and nobody wants to have to worry about somebody breaking into their property. That's also, you know, it's offensive and it's worrisome. It causes people worry. But the perpetrator's not there, and there's no need for the officer to come lights and sirens at a high rate of speed, putting themselves and others in danger. Know the differences. Last one. Let's circle back to receipt of stolen goods. Under Illinois law, theft does not exclusively include taking the property of another with the intention to permanently deprive the owner of the property. Individual also commits theft by knowingly obtaining property after it's been stolen. You weren't the person who stole it, but you know it was stolen and you have the property. They knowingly obtain control over stolen property, knowing the property to have been stolen or under circumstances that would reasonably induce him or her to believe that the property was stolen. That's 720 ILCS 16-5/16-1A4. An individual can be charged with the Illinois criminal offense of receiving stolen property if the individual holds, obtains, or receives property that the individual knows is stolen. The person charged must also prevent the owner of the property from getting the property back or receiving the property for personal gain. The requirement that the person charged knows the property was stolen does not mean that the person has actual knowledge. Again, if the circumstances would put the reasonable person on notice that the property was stolen, the recipient cannot simply bury their head in the sand or fail to inquire further. You know, ignorance. Well, I never knew it was stolen. Where'd you get it? This guy had it in the parking lot. He had a whole van full of them. Didn't you think that the price was a little off? Yeah, but I just thought it was a good deal. He said he got them at a warehouse. Good deal. No. So that's receipt of stolen goods. That's our property crimes. And week 7, we move on to victimless offenses, breach of peace, obstruction of justice, bribery, and perjury, before wrapping up with our final assignment, which is going to really test your knowledge for breaking down statutes and give you some practice and an opportunity to write a narrative based on something you're going to see. With a focus on the type of narrative you would write in a police report. And again, for those of you going into law enforcement, that's going to be very helpful in the future. And for those of you who aren't going into law enforcement, it's going to be very helpful in your future. Perspective. Because if you're not writing police reports at some point in your career in the law or criminal justice, you will be reviewing those types of narrative reports. It's your week 6 podcast for summer. I appreciate all your efforts the first 5 weeks. Only a couple more to go after this week, so please keep your energy up. And if you need me, you know where to find me.